To please his father, a freshman went out for the track team. Unfortunately, he did not have a lot of athletic ability, but his dad had been a good runner. First race of the year, there's only two runners, the state champion and him. The race happens and you can expect kind of the outcome. He lost by a country mile. But when he rode his dad, he explained the race like this. He said, "Dad, the first race of the year went like this. And the field, the state champion finished second to last, and I finished second." It can be easy for us to turn the truth into something it isn't. Let's pray. God, we pray that we would daily understand more of your love and what you're like. As you pour your truth into us, help us to gently and graciously pour into others. Help us to exhibit humility in what little we know compared to all there is to know. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The text today, we're in the New Testament book of 1 John. It's 1 John 5, verse 5 to 7. I'm going to read it to you. Ernie has it up. "This is the message we've heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is the light and in him there is no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we're walking in the darkness, we lie and do not know what is true. But if we walk in light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." The Apostle John is writing this letter to be circulated to a number of churches in the province of Asia Minor, probably the region of Ephesus. These churches were made up of mainly Jewish Christians, and they're being swamped by teachings that are either adding to the message of Christ or drastically changing it. As a result, the congregations that have previously been united are beginning to be torn apart from within. There are groups that have already broken off and are doing their own thing. John wants to expose these false teachers and reaffirm to these followers of Jesus what remains essential in their Christian faith. Chapter 1, verse 5 to 6, we're reminded that our perspective of spiritual truth is based on our understanding of God and our relationship to him. Right from the start, John wants to make it clear he's not coming with his own ideas or agendas. Verse 5, he said, "This message we have heard from and proclaimed to you." The apostle didn't get the good news of Jesus Christ secondhand. He personally was present when Jesus spoke and taught and healed the sick and cast out demons. John will now proceed to tell these followers of Jesus what the Christ has said about himself. This in contrast to those who have attempted to interpret Jesus' words by adding to them or taking away from them. Verse 5 carries on by saying that God is light and in him there's no darkness at all. John begins using the metaphor of light and darkness to describe what God is like and what he's not like. To be able to respond properly to one another and to God, we need to have a right and accurate understanding of what God's character is like. When it says the Lord is light, it refers to his goodness, his truth, his holiness. The darkness represents what is evil, what is dark, and what must be hidden. Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night thinking it was daytime? Go back to sleep, kids. What happens is that our eyes have not been able to adjust fully to the darkness, so we're disoriented. In the same way, we can fool ourselves into believing that things are right in our spiritual lives when actually we've just become so used to the darkness that we've adjusted to it. When the Holy Spirit begins shining a spotlight in the interior of our lives, we sometimes respond by wanting to hide or wanting to break the light that is exposing us. In Psalm 119, 105, it says, "God's word is a lamp to our feet, a light for our path." In John 8:12, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Our understanding of what God is like must always be based on what he said about himself previously. God does not contradict himself, but people who are trying to change the gospel to fit their own agenda will make statements that are inconsistent. In 1 John 1:6, it says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him while we're walking in darkness, we lie and do not know what is true." A lot of times it's easier to talk the talk than walk the walk. We can try to appear like everything is right in the interior of our lives when we know it's not. At this point, it's easy to compare ourselves with others so we don't need to deal with the garbage inside of us. We justify the inconsistency of our lives. Many of us can try to add God to our lives, just like we add possessions, like a boat, a new job, even a new relationship. We try and place the different aspects of our lives into compartments so we can maintain both control and appearance. But when we do this, we're never fulfilled. The things we possess don't satisfy us, and God remains powerless in our lives because they only allow Jesus freedom when it fits into our schedule. In the end, we're really only fooling ourselves. Those around us know we aren't who we're pretending to be, and it's obvious to God. The Christian life will only be fulfilling when we surrender every area of our lives and allow God's transforming process to begin on the inside of us, which naturally begins to change how we live and act on the outside. Whoever wants to experience ultimate spiritual truth will allow themselves to be placed front and center of God's revealing light of truth. When we have fellowship with Jesus, we permit him access to every area of our lives. God wants to free us of the junk we are carrying around if we'll allow him to enter the core of who we are. In Louisville, Kentucky, they have a massive church that sometimes they do outside meetings with, and sometimes they can close everything, but the birds get into the building. And now you have two problems. You don't want birds pooping on your congregants. I'm just putting that out there. And secondly, they didn't want to hurt the birds. And so how do they get them out of the building? And so what they do is, actually this building is perfect for this because we don't have a lot of light, outside light. But what they do is they make it as dark as possible in the church. And then what they do is they open the outside doors and make it as light as possible outside. The birds instinctively fly to the light and escape. When we look around, things seem to be getting darker. But the darker this world gets, the brighter God's light will shine to help us to know where we should go. In John 1:7, it affirms, things will only begin to be made right in our lives because of Christ. Verse 7 starts with a conjunction, the word but. John's now going to go on and contrast the difference between those who are walking in the light and those who are walking in the darkness. The verse goes on to say, if we walk in the light as he, referring to Jesus, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The first thing that those who are walking in God's light can experience is genuine fellowship. This will only happen as our motivation is based on worshiping God. If we have other agendas, we're not going to be able to forgive each other or be open about the struggles and sin that we're attempting to work through. Our lives will be filled with secrecy and hidden things. We'll not be able to extend mercy toward each other when we need it the most because we can't see beyond our own issues. We can actually get to the point where we prefer the darkness over the light. If Jesus Christ is not the center of our spiritual life, churches will never become the transforming, forgiving, and generous communities that they were meant to be. The last part of verse 7 says, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all our sins. So the second thing then is walking in the light does is it allows us to experience forgiveness from God because of Jesus' death on the cross. It can become easy to become religious where we no longer see our need for forgiveness or the benefit of other people in our lives. Because of Christ's death, we daily have the opportunity to come into God's presence and to allow him to search our hearts if there's any wicked way in us. We deeply need forgiveness in our lives from God and others, and we need to extend forgiveness to others. At a county fair, a distinctively dressed Quaker was there. Has anybody ever seen a Quaker? They usually wear dark colors, black hat, black jacket, and he was selling a horse that day to a farmer. The farmer took the horse home and found out very quickly this was an ornery horse, a stubborn horse, a troublemaking horse. The farmer was very upset. The next day he went back to the fair and he confronted the Quaker. And he said, "What kind of horse did you sell me?" And the Quaker said, "Friend," he said, "you didn't ask me anything about the horse. If you would have asked me anything about the horse, I would have truthfully told you what the horse was like." And the farmer said, "Well, forget about it. I don't want to sell you the horse. I'll sell the horse to somebody else. Can I borrow your hat and your jacket?" We can pretend to be someone else like the farmer wanted to do so he could sell the horse. But on a spiritual level, we can attempt to ride the wave of somebody else's relationship with Jesus. But there's nothing like encountering Christ for ourselves. I like to drive in the daytime because the light helps me see those things the darkness would otherwise hide on the road. In today's technology, you can buy glasses that help you see in the dark. But the fact of the matter is, you're still in the dark. According to the Apostle John, any pursuit of spirituality that fractures the community and promotes religious elitism is a faith that has lived in darkness. To be in the light of God's truth is to respond to one another in humility while acknowledging our own need to be forgiven. Anyone who feels they no longer need God's mercy is not going to extend mercy to others. Whenever we feel that we have arrived, that we understand the scriptures and the church like no one else, we're usually not in a good position. Those who break away from the larger church body to form their own little elite group do not fully understand God's love, grace, and forgiveness. His spiritual kingdom reaches across this geographical world where churches in Africa and Asia are interconnected to those in Europe and so on. We are on a spiritual pilgrimage together in our journey toward God in relationship with each other. If we want to participate in life with Jesus, we need to keep walking toward the light of his truth, and choose to live accordingly. It's very easy for us to be critical about almost anything in life, but we must be very careful about the church community that Jesus said he died for. Ephesians 4, 2 to 6 says this, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." When it comes to God's church, are we people who bring peace or are we people who break peace? Let's pray. In the scriptures, it says that we should not think too highly of ourselves. Holy Spirit, we invite you to search our hearts concerning pride and being puffed up about knowledge we believe that we've obtained. Make us soft and pliable so we can serve others. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear,
Gotta stand for the last one.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? The shame's done all its stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. about me. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free.
Have an awesome week.